The third reading is from the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 8th chapter. In those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." His disciples answered him, "How can one feed those people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The last few Sundays have been really rough. I know. You've heard things from this pulpit like there is no hope in you. You've heard that God simply doesn't want you just to do what you enjoy and be happy at all costs. You've heard him say, "You have a plank in your eye, and you are a hypocrite." And it's not I, but it is Christ himself who's been hard on you, on us. He, in his own words, has proclaimed the law in all of its full sternness. And even my preaching could not soften it. He's commanded from us excellence, perfection, mercy that matches his Father's mercy. And he's called us to faith that believes that his commands are true more than our desires and wants. And in so doing, he's led us into a trap to be exposed and to see just how precarious our position is. Well, today's gospel is a living picture of this very thing. That crowd had gone on for 3 days, drawn on and along by Jesus' teaching, and now they were in a deserted wilderness in the middle of nowhere. Now they were caught without any food. 3 days from civilization, too long to return. And you know, Jesus is fully aware of what is going on. He is fully aware that his words had brought them to the face of death. What Jesus did to that crowd is the very same thing that Jesus has done to you and I with his teaching. He's exposed us. He's exposed what was already true of us, what we so easily ignore, but what we must comprehend and learn. Learn this: 3 hours without food, and your stomach will begin to growl. 3 days, and you may faint after 3 more. 3 weeks without food, you will die. We are mortal. And we are mortal because the wages of sin is death. Now, death comes to all men, but it's not because death is natural and normal. It comes as the right and the proper earnings of sin. That is what the apostle says in today's epistle. All men die because all men sin. Now, it would not have been so if Adam and Eve had not eaten the food that the Lord forbidden, and ate instead what the Lord freely and richly gave to them, what we heard about in today's Old Testament reading. But of course, just as daily bread is only one of our many great needs for survival, so the eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was only one part of their sin, the least, the last part of their sin. The root of it was their hearts. It was their desires. It was their lack of trust in God's word, and the determination that they knew better. This is what separates us from God, dear Christians. It's idolatry. It's the love and the worship of anything alongside and above Him. And you know what? Our gods are always fashioned in our own image. It's the love of self that lies at the heart of all sin. And death, indeed, is the fitting and is the only way that this idol will come to an end. Now, sin, of course, means guilt. We are culpable. It means we're responsible for our sins. And even what we have inherited from Adam, our corrupted, sinful natures, what we call original sin, this isn't something that is merely foisted upon us as if it was not our own. You and I are tacit participants in it. We are sinful from birth, even from the time our mothers conceived us, as Psalm 51 says. And even before the labors of our corrupt nature are evident to us, we're already earning their keep. So when men are hungry, when they are fainting, when they are maybe even dying in the wilderness, it is more than just a coincidence that their lives would flash before their eyes and they would consider their many deeds. God be praised for that truth. And Lord, have mercy on us if we would not do the same. In fact, if we would not do the same, even if our own deaths seem far away yet. But also, when it comes to sin, we are also just plain weak. Too weak to escape our own wants. Helpless, or as another gospel says, we are like sheep wandering without a shepherd. Now we are at fault, certainly. I'm not trying to take that away from us. Sheep, after all, are known for their incredible stupidity. But that is what makes them so helpless. Especially that they are often so stupid that they think they aren't. And that's us. We often believe that we have things well under control, that we are managing. We believe that we need neither help nor a handout, nor certainly a rescue. Well, but if death is a wage, if it is an earning, as St. Paul says, then the solution, quite obviously, cannot be to put your head down and try harder. It may take something quite devastating to convince you of this. Whether that's the prospect of starving in a desert, or whether it's for 3 weeks in a row having your pastor tell you that, yes, Jesus really did mean what he said, just as it sounded. And you do stand accused. You may feel quite judged. That's because God is a judge, and you're in the wrong. But today, in today's gospel, all of these powerful realizations come second. First comes this word from Jesus: I have compassion on the crowds. And he says this before anyone is even alerted to their great danger. Now, whatever reason they had sought him out and started following him, maybe they were looking for a healing or a miracle, maybe a confirmation of something they wondered, or just out of curiosity. Suddenly, all of those reasons are unimportant. Here they are, dying, with nowhere to find food. And then in the very same moment, before they can panic even, they are saved. They are fed. They are satisfied, not just given a snack, something to tide them over or help them cope. They are rescued. And they discover that Jesus has gathered them together. He has assembled a crowd. He has assembled a church to himself so that he may have compassion on them. He has compassion on us. He has come not to judge us into condemnation, but rather into his ready and waiting compassion. And thus he must reveal to us the great peril from which he is rescuing us. We must be shown our sin before we will care to hear about a Savior. We must be diagnosed with a heart disease before a painful and dangerous and life-changing surgery sounds like a good idea to us. That is why Jesus does what he does in today's gospel for that crowd. That is why he exposes us, why he traps us in our own consciences up against the wall of his immovable commandments and law. It is so that the only place we can run is into his mercy, into his compassion, to the gospel that frees and forgives sinners. If the law is used to convince us or to force us into the truth of our sin, that is not to say that the gospel convinces us of something different. The gospel frees us and absolves us. It does not convince us. In fact, it is often only in its light that we really begin to grasp the true depths of our weakness. The gospel is more necessary than we know, to our shame, even than we believe. The baptism of infants is just like this. To our eyes, we see a child, we see an innocent-looking baby. At worst, they cry a little bit when their head gets wet. And we come because we want to watch it, mostly because it's really cute, because it's a nice thing to do. It's a family tradition around here, right? And then when we are standing around the font, instead Christ blurts out, "I have compassion on you." Here he is rescuing sheep from the clutches of the wolf. He puts life-giving food into the mouths of the dying. He casts out demons and replaces them with the Holy Spirit. And he throws a life preserver to the drowning. Here, God does battle against evil. And surprise, the evil is in you, even in that little baby. We baptize infants because baptism offers and gives the rescue that they really need. And we baptize infants because, as the Gospel from Mark says, unless you receive the kingdom of God in the same way as a little child, you will never enter it. Adults are saved like children are. Grabbed by the scruff of your neck, splashed into the water, plunged into it, rescued from perils that you probably don't even fully comprehend or understand. Whenever we see a baptism, we are forced to admit that we do not choose Jesus or turn ourselves around, but He calls and saves us. And as with the crowds in the desert, the Lord pulls back the curtain, reveals our mortal and sinful weakness too. But He only does this in view of His great compassion. He does it where the hungry are fed. He does it where the doomed children of Adam are adopted as sons and heirs. In the very same way, even if your conscience has been assaulted by God's unbending law in a sermon, it has never been done, thank God, apart from the word of His forgiveness, His absolution. It is not to be done apart from being satisfied with His Holy Supper. And it is not done apart from the Lord's gift of compassion in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have compassion on you, Jesus says, because the wages of sin means death. So I come and I give you the free gift of eternal life in my blood. And this is what we truly need. This is freedom from slavery to our old sinful nature in Adam. This is rescue from death. This is far more than just daily bread to keep our bodies going a little longer. But this is eternal life that never fades or wears out. Now maybe, in the face of such incredible compassion from God, unasked for, certainly undeserved, and yet free and full, satisfying, maybe you even now feel a little bit exposed. Well, if so, then hear what it is that your Lord Jesus desires, what He sends His disciples to do. Come, sit at the Lord's feet, and be satisfied with what you truly need and what He is and is eager to give to you. Eternal and unbounded compassion. Because He does not want you to faint on the way either. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.